Good afternoon and welcome to the Design Review Board agenda for Tuesday, November 10th. Linda, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Member Clinton?
Present.
Member DeJesus?
Present.
Member Iman?
Present.
Member Hart?
Present.
Member Smith? Is absent. Member Whalen, alternate?
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
And now we will do the, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all.
All right. So before we actually start, I need to say that this meeting is being conducted utilizing teleconferencing and electronic means consistent with the State of California Executive Order N2920, dated March 17th, 2020, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The live stream of the meeting may be viewed on television and or online. In accordance with Executive Order N2920, the public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and or online at the city's website and not in the council chamber. So now that we have that out of way, the first thing I'd like to do is welcome our new members. You're late. We have needed you for a long time. So thank you for being here. We're very grateful.
Not our fault.
Well, we're looking forward to having your wisdom imparted on the projects that we get to see. It's fun. It's a privilege, and I think you guys will fit in great. So with that, we'll start with our first item. Which is, I believe, am I right here? Review and approve the minutes from the
Chair Branch, can I interrupt? I think there was a public comment not on the agenda item that you might want to read.
That's what I was just looking for. Huh. Yeah. All right. Well, at this time, the public can speak to any item that is not on today's agenda with relevant to the city of Goleta. Have any speaker slips been submitted, Linda?
No, Chair Branch.
The virtual equivalent thereof?
I've not received any speaker slips. I may ask if anyone attendee would wish to speak at this time on something other than on the agenda. To wave the wave icon. And I'm not seeing any waves here. Chair
okay.
Branch.
Okay, very good. Then I think the first item is to review and approve the 2021 DRB meeting schedule.
Okay, Chair Branch, and good afternoon all. Mm-hmm. We do have the 2021 calendar for you to consider. Typically, we do a closure on the Thanksgiving week meeting and also the Christmas break week or when the city is closed in December. We didn't take anything else off, and we can, if you have a desire to either take one of the March spring break meetings to cancel, and or the summer vacation, which we have done before, I think it's worked well that we cancel when we don't have items. So it's sort of your pleasure how you would like to see the calendar, if that looks good as proposed, or if you want to make any amendments.
Anybody have any issues with the schedule? I don't see any. All right. So would somebody make a motion to approve the 2021 DRB schedule?
I'll make a motion to approve. This is Karis.
Okay, great. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Martha. And any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Roll call. I think we need to do it.
Thank you. Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Don't I need to abstain?
I don't think so. Because this is for the schedule for next year.
Schedule. I'm sorry. I thought it was for the minutes. Aye. No.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Yes, aye. Okay, very good. With that, then we'll move to our review of agenda. So Mary, you want to explain what's happening today?
Chair Branch, you know, we may have had some issues with the posting of the agenda that you're not showing A1, which is the meeting minutes for the two meetings in August and also the meeting in September. Do all the members have that? How about the other members?
No, okay. I printed this PDF out and that didn't have
that. Yeah, we had some issues with the posting of that. Well.
Yeah, I was not able to get a copy of the meeting minutes note.
Okay, well, we will load up next meeting all the meeting minutes. Sorry about that. Some were not able to view, and we had some trouble posting on the website. So apologize for that. So,
no worries.
So on to A3.
Dennis?
Comment. Mary, could you actually post all four in a separate PDF so we are sure to see them?
Sure.
Okay.
Will do.
Good idea. Okay, Mary, go ahead with the agenda info.
With the review of the agenda, today's agenda, we do have several items that are being taken off calendar. There's one item that's going to be continued to your November 24th meeting. So if you could take action on each one, each item, and the clerk will read in each item and you can just make a motion for what is recommended.
Do we need to make the motion before she reads the item?
She will read the item, and I think in this case, okay. Well, we better do a roll call anyway, okay?
Item B1 is on the conceptual preliminary final agenda, Sandpiper Golf Course Clubhouse, located at 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059, case number 20-0012-DRB.
All right, so this item is to be renoticed to a future date. Someone please make a motion to that.
I motion to move it to a future date.
And get a second?
I second the motion.
Seconded by Greg. And can we get a roll call to approve that?
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Item B2 is the American Riviera Bank signage located at 5880 Cali Real, APN 069-110-082, case number 20-0003-OST.
and this item to be renoticed to a future date. Can I get a motion on that, please?
Motion to renotice it to future date.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Several. Okay, we'll say Member Einman got that one. Roll call, please.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Einman?
Yes.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Yes. Okay, next item.
Item B3 is the Powell addition and setback modification located at 261 Iris Avenue, APN 077-254-008, case number 20-0001-MOD.
And this item will be continued to the November 24th DRB meeting. Can we get a motion for that, please?
I move that we continue it to the next meeting.
And a second? Member Whalen? Perfect. Roll call, please.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Einman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Alternate Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. And the last one, B4?
It's the Organic Greens Facade Improvements located at 5902 Daly Street, APN 071-151-006, case number 20-0015-DRB.
And this one will be removed from the agenda, so a motion, please.
I move to remove the item from the agenda.
And a second?
I second.
I'll second it.
Very good. Roll call, please.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Einman?
Yes.
Member Hart?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Okay, so before we get to our conceptual preliminary calendar, quick question, Mary. For the item that had to be removed from the agenda, why did that have to be a motion? Why can't staff just remove it?
I was just going to explain that, Chair Branch. The projects were all noticed in the newspaper. So that's why we had to put it on the agenda so that people, you know, were noticed and they know why, what the action is. And that one does not actually need DRB.
Very good. Okay. All right, Linda, can we go to the next item, C1?
Okay, item C1 is on the conceptual preliminary calendar. It's Harrison second story expansion to existing second story house located at 5689 Berkeley Road, APN 069-324-002, case number 20-0014-DRB.
Very good. Now, before we start, has everybody visited the site? Craig Schellenberger? You're going to have to go up by last names. It'll be confusing.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Member Einman. I think you're muted, sir.
Thank you. No site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Member Hart?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Member Whalen?
A virtual site visit, no ex parte.
And Member Clinton?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Same for me, virtual site visit, no ex parte. But I'm fairly familiar with Berkeley Street. So with that, Daryl?
I had a site visit and no ex parte.
Sorry, Martha. Good. Daryl, the floor is yours, sir.
Great. Thanks, Chair Branch, a member of the DRB. Great to see everyone again, as well as meet the new members. My name is Daryl Mimick. I'm an associate planner here at the city. Today, the applicant's requesting conceptual preliminary review. This is at 5689 Berkeley Road. This is an expansion of an existing second story. The property currently includes a 2,782 square foot residence, as well as an attached 489 square foot garage. The applicant's proposing a 360 square foot addition. This is along the south elevation of the existing second story. This would, the resulting two-story residence would have a total of 3,631 square feet, consisting of a 489 square foot garage as well.
I'm going to share. Excuse me, Daryl, are you sharing screen for plans?
Yeah, I'm just going to do that right now.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought you mentioned it. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to share my screen here. Bring up, you should be able to see the plans. Okay. So here's the site plan. And you can see the proposed addition will be along the south elevation of the property. And here is the floor plan. This would be the existing first floor plan. Here's the existing elevations. And here's the proposed second story floor plan. Here's the proposed rear elevation. Again, this is along the south elevation. The proposed height of the addition will be 20 feet. It consists of a new dormer with four new windows. Here's the existing front elevation. I do want to bring up, today we're really looking for the design review to make a couple decisions. The first is on the design and the aesthetics of the addition itself, and specifically compatibility with the site, as well as compatibility with the adjoining neighborhood. The second decision is that to do with floor area, allowable floor area. So per the zoning ordinance, zoning ordinance does have a maximum allowed floor area standard, and that's a calculation within the new adopted zoning ordinance, and that is essentially, you know, the floor area includes the internal square footage, as well as in this case also the square footage in the garage. So just to give a little bit of background, we obviously adopted a new zoning ordinance in April of this year. And the standards for floor area changed. In comparison to the old zoning ordinance, the new zoning ordinance does include the garage square footage within the new allowed floor area. So in comparison, the old zoning ordinance did not include the square footage of the garage into the calculation and the allowed square floor area. But the new zoning ordinance does. And so that's why you'll see that the resulting two-story house, inclusive of the garage, is a total of 3,631 square feet. And the maximum Floor area for this property is 2,676 square feet. So that is, it does exceed floor area standard by 995 square feet. Again, this is a new standard with the NZO. It now includes the garage in the square footage calculation. And so with that, when we have applicants proposing square footage that exceed that amount, the design review board does have the ability to review the project and approve a project if willing. So that's another reason why we're here today. I do want to just point out a brief typo in the staff report. Under the project description, currently states the property includes a 2,293 square foot residence. That's incorrect. The existing residence is 2,782 square feet. That doesn't change the calculations of calculating the floor area, but just wanted to point that out. In terms of public comment, the site was posted. Also, mailings were sent to all adjacent property owners and tenants within 500 feet of the subject property. Today, we have not received any comment as of yet. With that, we do have the applicant here today to go in detail of the proposal. I believe we have Patty Harrison as well as Matthew Harrison, and we may have the architect Timothy Osteel. With that, I think I'll hand it over to the applicant.
Very good. Before the applicant proceeds, can I just ask one question for staff? Based on what you said and the change in the zoning ordinance, before they even decided to do an addition at all, it sounds like they exceeded the floor area ratio.
That's correct. So I'll give a little bit of background there as well. So this house was entitled in 1963. And then in 1967, they were approved for a second story addition. That would be the dormer on the north elevation of the residence. At that time, you know, that was in the county of Santa Barbara. At that time, they did not have a floor area requirement. And then when we moved to incorporation of the city, that's when the city council adopted an ordinance approving the new floor area requirements. But at that time, it was adopted with the garage not being included in the floor area calculation. That's a good point, Chair Branch. So I think what we'll see now is numerous properties within the city exceeding the floor area requirement due to now including the garage into the calculation.
So before we even begin, we're over the advised FAR by 600 some odd square feet or something. Is that right?
Correct.
Did anybody else's screen freeze?
No.
Okay. Well, then with that, the applicant, feel free to, unless your architect is here, feel free to walk us through your project.
Okay. Basically, as you saw from the drawings, that's from the front of the house currently, and we have a dormer coming out of the front top level of the house. And on the south side, when you go upstairs, you can take a right and there's a door and you can go into the attic space, which we want to convert into a bedroom. So really what we just want to do is change the pitch of the ceiling or of the roof a bit and add a dormer coming out the south. But the space is technically already there. It's storage, but it's just not livable. It's not finished. And we need more headspace by raising the roof.
Got it. Okay.
And the neighborhood has other homes that have second story. So we're not, I mean, we already have the front side that has a dormer out, and other homes in the area already have this as well, meaning like a full second story. And the new build out would not block any neighbor view of any sort. It's literally just in our backyard. Obviously, whenever you build out in a higher level, we'll be able to, you know, view down at our neighbors in the backyard, but that is just their yard. And we're not changing the design of the home that would change the rest of the neighborhood. So we're not building something that's...
The foundation on the dirt is not changing. It's just upstairs. The addition also adds a bathroom to the large room upstairs, which we plan on using as our master bedroom upstairs for us. And that would leave the downstairs master that we're living in now space for my mom lives in the Bay Area now in a four bedroom house by herself. And we want her to move down here. She's almost 80 and she could take that space that we're living in now while we go upstairs, but we would like to have a bathroom for us in our room upstairs. So in addition to the bedroom, we put a bathroom in the large room.
And the other rooms already exist upstairs as well as the bathroom. So we would only be putting in our master bathroom and then basically converting that storage space into an actual bedroom, which you can see is listed bedroom number 6.
There's Tim.
Chair.
I think you're muted, Tim.
Did we lose our chair?
Well, if that's the case, I will try to move us forward. I see Tim Steele, the architect or designer, is here. Tim, would you like to make any additional comments?
You're still muted.
You're on mute, Tim.
You have to allow the audio.
Can anyone allow the audio? I don't see a command. Or just the chair.
Well, only Tim on his computer.
Well, it shows that he's unmuted.
Oh.
It's probably muted by the host.
Can we start with board comments and questions while we wait for the architect to be able to speak? Craig?
I'm fine with that. I just didn't want to, I wanted to give Tim a chance to speak here, but when I see Scott's back, so I'll hand it back to Scott.
Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. To catch me up, has the architect spoken about the project and or does he need to?
Well, yeah, let me tell you, Scott. So Tim is having equally technical difficulties with his microphone. So the suggestion was made to maybe go into board comments and questions and see if maybe the host can get Tim his audio. In the meantime, if you'd like to respond to any of the comments we make, you'll have that opportunity.
That's fair, Mary.
Chair Branch, Tim, perhaps you can log off and come back in. And when you have the webinar invite, there is an audio button, and then it'll bring you back on and see if that works.
And then Daryl, I don't know if in the meantime, if you can see what I had sent you, but not to step on anybody's toes, but the drawings didn't have existing and proposed on the same sheets. And we typically like to see that. So I went ahead and just did a quick little copy and paste. And it might help our comments or questions here to see both side by side.
Thank you.
Craig, can you see these would be your plans that you sent?
Yeah, I think so. But if it's on the elevation sheets,
okay.
Go to the proposed, for example. I'm not sure which page it is. So there's one there. You can see I copied and pasted the what you can see that they're the existing east is off to the left and the existing west is to the upper right of the west. Just so that when we're looking at it, we're looking at existing and proposed on the same, you don't have to flip back and forth sheet to sheet.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sorry, Scott. Then I think there was one other page that had the rear elevation and the front elevations.
You would be
yeah, there. We go. There's the rear, existing and proposed, and there's another page that has the front street elevation. There it is.
Added.
Yeah.
Muted.
I'll hand it back to Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. That looks great.
All right. So, oh, you did a little cut and paste of that, I see.
The miracle of Bluebeam, yes.
Yep, gotcha. So why don't we begin with questions for the applicant and or architect. I don't know if the architect is on yet at this point. But it looks like he's there, so perhaps he can hear us.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right.
Great. Very good. Very good.
Chair Branch?
Yes.
This may be outside of our purview, and I'd be happy to learn that, but I, with an increased amount of square footage and an increased anticipated residence, I'm wondering if it's in our domain to think about parking. I haven't heard anything addressing parking.
Daryl, do you want to address the parking issue?
Yeah. Good question. So there is no actually parking issue here. So single family residents need to have two covered parking spaces. And given the increase in square footage, this does not increase the requirement to three covered spots. So two covered spots is sufficient for this proposal.
Great. Thank you, Daryl, for that clarification.
You're welcome.
Let me see. We're a bit out of sorts here. So Mr. Steele, Do you have anything you want to contribute to the presentation or?
The elevation will show that the addition is not raising the ridge line and mimics the existing front shed dormer. So they're basically the same width, front to back, same pitch, and they have basically the same character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as you drive around the neighborhood and would have an opportunity to see the structure in its total, it should look very, very in keeping with the neighborhood.
Okay. Very good then. We'll start with a question. Member Einman, you started with a question. Do you have any other questions for the applicant?
No, thank you.
All right. Member DeGasis, do you?
Yeah, I do have a couple questions. One involves the existing front elevation. You show some shutters on the proposed window, new windows. I'm just wondering why the shutters are only on one side of each window. And the other question I have is about those windows is, will they match the existing windows on that elevation?
We're replacing the existing windows because we need to allow for more of a head wall for the bed. Existing room doesn't really lend itself to have the bed against that wall. The windows are encroaching into the wall. That's the effort.
Are you replacing, as we're looking at this, Daryl, could you scroll down a little bit so we can see the existing north elevation? No, scroll a little bit down. I want to see both of them at the same time.
Existing elevation has shutters.
Right. Okay, right there, Daryl. That's good. So as we're looking at that existing front elevation above, the rectangle that you're showing as those windows, is that inclusive of the shutters or is that glazing only?
That's glazing only. That's an as-built drawing of the glazing.
So you have reduced the size of the windows at the bed wall.
Right.
To create more space between them. And do those windows meet egress?
Neither of them actually do. I think it's a little bit short. I may have to drop it down a little bit farther.
Because other than that, you'd have to go into the bathroom or into the other bedroom or something. So I think you're going to want to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's within 6 inches. I think I could get it into the existing roof line without encroaching into the roof.
Okay. Martha, I didn't mean to step on your questions. Do you have any others?
Not at all. So the question I had asked, or the pair of questions was, why are the shutters only on one side of the window? And two, will those windows, new windows, match the existing windows on that facade?
Yes, we're going to be matching. Some of the windows on the building have been replaced already. So we're going to match in kind to the latest manufacturer of window.
What about the shutters?
I think they still make those shutters. That's the kind of ready-made shutter that they made back in the 70s and 80s.
I understand that. I'm just asking, why are they only on one side of each window? Does that seem peculiar to anyone else or just me?
It's a casement window. It's only 20 inches wide.
It appears like there's shutters just on the outer side of the two lower floor windows on the left-hand side of the building.
And they don't actually cover the window, just a decorative shutter.
I will say, Martha, just to chime in, and certainly Dennis could add could elaborate on it, but there are times where a smaller window will only have one shutter because the window's so small. So that's not uncommon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, as I go down, Gray, Member Hart, do you have any questions for the applicant?
No, I don't. As my first meeting, I think I'm going to kind of watch and learn. I do appreciate the fact that it does seem to fit the footprint of the house nicely. But I do have a question for staff eventually. I'm not sure how or when the timing should be. What?
Does that pertain to this project?
No.
Okay.
Well, it does and it doesn't. It's the precedent of the requirements.
Oh, feel free to ask.
That's it really in a nutshell is, so if we agree that this is a reasonable project in this given condition, are we setting some sort of precedent in altering or affecting that calculation of square footage ratios?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question, Chair Hart. So all applicants will have the ability to, if they are exceeding the floor area standards, to come to the design review board and to present and justify their case. So interesting enough, regarding the adopted new zoning ordinance, this is the first case that we've had that's been presented to the board since the adoption of the new zoning ordinance in terms of exceeding the floor area. With that said, my assumption is that the DRB will be reviewing more of these, given that the garage is now included in that floor area standard. But, you know, associated with that, there is no threshold in the zoning ordinance. There is no percentage. It's the language currently exists as it's just presented to the board for their review and approval. So this is really the first case.
So we just take it on a case-by-case basis, right?
Exactly.
Mary?
Chair Branch, Member Hart, so add to Daryl's comments. That is why we have you guys for the design of projects such as this to really assess the size, scale, and bulk rather than just straight square footage. So that's your duty to take a look and make findings of compatibility, et cetera.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I get that and I understand that. My issue with this one is it's already beyond, you know, the square footage ratio before the addition, and we're approving that. It's pushing the envelope so far out that I'm wondering if we'd be able to defend future decisions of any kind of restriction. That's what I'm getting at.
I think the ordinance gives us the ability to do that. And don't forget, prior to the ordinance, this thing complied. Its existing conditions complied prior to the NZO. So. All right. Well, any other questions? No?
No.
All right. Dennis?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Branch. I shudder to comment on the shutters, but if you would go back to the elevations, please. It appears that, well, it's a fact, they're totally decoration. And none of them, even if they were operational, would cover the windows that they're next to. So it's a little odd that the new ones actually would cover the window if they were operable. But I'm spending way too much time talking about the shutters. I don't think it really matters all that much. I had two other questions. But first, two other questions. I think the architect Steele answered one of them. Can you look at the elevations, please? I mean, the other side elevations. It may be an optical illusion, but it appears that the dormer pitches are different. I believe the architect said they're the same. If you can pull that up. Sorry, I don't know the page. There it is. And maybe it's an optical illusion. They look like they're different pitches on the east and west. But you say they're the same, Architect Steele?
They're the same. We're reaching right to the ridge with the new rafter tail.
Right. It would be helpful if the pitch were on the drawings. The second question is regarding the shingles. Are there shingles anywhere else on the existing house? None of the materiality is shown except for a stone base.
There are not shingles up on the shed dormer, but I thought it would be a more prudent material to specify. Put up a hardy shingle with the cement fiber board, you know, shingle, rather than do a small lot of stucco up there.
I'm sorry, that was somewhat garbled. The simple answer is no, there are no other shingles on the existing building, correct?
That's right.
Thank
you. Those are shingles, which is a very tight profile for, you know, wall shingling. And it's also more fireproof.
All right. Thank you. Did you have any other questions, Dennis?
No, thank you, Chair Branch.
Okay. Craig, did you have any other questions?
No, I didn't have any questions. I do have some comments, but
okay.
No questions.
Karis, do you have any questions?
Can I do questions and comments together?
Certainly, maybe? Since you would be the last questioner, I will say that I don't have any questions. And so you being the last questioner, you may ask your questions and begin the comment section.
Oh, thank you. Okay. There's been a lot of things. I have one question for staff first. What is the difference between an alternate dwelling unit space that's added versus this adding this space, which is exceeds the FAR?
Yeah.
Could they not have gone for that approach?
Yeah, so the ordinance does allow for attached accessory dwelling units, and that is when an applicant proposes a completely separate dwelling within the residence, and that dwelling needs to include a kitchen. With this application, they're proposing just an increase in square footage for a bedroom and not a separate dwelling with a separate kitchen.
I see. Okay, I'm sorry. So my comment on that in terms of increasing the FAR and setting a precedence for increased FAR, I think what they're trying to do with the use of the space is honest and noble in its intention. And I don't have any problem as a board member agreeing to increasing the FAR, especially with an existing conditions where it's sort of there already and they're not changing things too much, but what they are changing is for a good reason. So that's sort of question and comment number one to put together. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy and agree with the Chair Branch about egress on those windows and the sizing of them. And if I have to weigh in on shutters, I will do so very briefly to say that they do not seem helpful to the look of the situation. So I'm not particularly interested in adding things just for looks. If you wanted to add something that was useful and could be used in the event of a storm, perhaps that's fine. But however you do that, this is a design review, so I'm happy with whatever you choose for that. Photovoltaics, are they only required on new buildings or would they be required on a renovation where you're getting a new roof?
Yeah, good question. They're not currently required for additions. for residential purposes. For new construction as well as commercial industrial, they do have to supply conduit to have photovoltaics, you know, for future use of photovoltaic. But for a residential addition, it's not required.
I would urge the applicants just to consider that as an idea to put photovoltaics on if you are going to do this. It would sort of sweeten the deal. And what is happening with the landscaping?
We are planning on photovoltaics for sure, but funding, we have to take it one step at a time.
Of course.
Same with the landscape.
Okay. I would like to see some addressing of the landscaping issue. I only was looking at the Google images, but it shows that your front yard seems to be fairly denuded of landscaping. And maybe if you came back with something, my suggestion would be to have some sort of basic, beautiful landscaping plan that would appease neighborhood relationships in that manner. And other than that, I'm good with the addition and the increased square footage. I think that seems like a fair thing to my mind. As long as I had a landscaping plan that I know would help the neighbors join in collaboration on this sort of idea. Thank you. That's my questions and comments.
Okay. Dennis, comments?
Yes, overall, I think this is a perfectly fine solution. It's won't be seen from the street. You'll hardly be able to see it from anywhere. The views of the neighborhood won't be compromised. That is, looking into people's backyard. As much as I like the presentation drawings, the sense of a hand drawing, we don't see very much. There's not a whole lot on the drawings to give us information. It would have been nice to have had photographs of the existing house, materials called out. So I have some reservations about making a final judgment, but I have no problems with approving the project as proposed. Thank you.
Very good. Let's see. Craig?
Similar comments. Yeah, I mean, as far as the square footage issue, since they're staying within the footprint, it seems to be a perfectly acceptable massing. And on that note, I'm not typically a fan of the addition going all the way out to the first floor level, but there's some articulation in that addition that I think mitigates that. In other words, if that wall had, the first floor and second floor walls had lined up entirely, you have to look at one of the, I think it's the east elevation. Which sheet was it? Yeah, well, either way, the east or west elevations on sheet A2, you see that second floor dormer addition does come out to the first floor wall line, but it's a little misleading because of the articulation. When you look at the roof line, you'll see that sort of Z jigsaw pattern of the addition, and I think that offsets that problem. That was the only massing question I sort of had in my mind, but I think it's fine. And then there actually is, it's unfortunate these Zoom meetings are not, we're not able to lay everything on the table like we are, but there is a materials samples PDF that shows the proposed siding. And there's actually, I think it looks like there's a wainscot exterior stone wainscoting and then a stucco siding, which I think is existing, but the materials and colors are all absolutely acceptable and will be quite nice. I think the house will look much nicer, frankly, than the existing. So I think it's just nothing but a supportable project.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
Martha?
So are we in comments right now, Scott, or?
We are in comments, yes.
Okay. Checking.
And if you have comments, feel
yeah,
free.
Yeah, I do have a kind of a question slash comment. You're putting stone on the wainscot of the rear elevation, but the front elevation has brick. Is that? Seems like it's a little bit of a disconnect to me.
We're proposing to take the used brick off the living room wall and put the wainscot there so both back and front are the same. They did a lot of work in their backyard with a pool and a deck, which are in the sandstone colorway. So I'm trying to think of how to tie the house, the pool, and potentially the front yard landscape together in that colorway, not have the red used brick as the accent color for the house.
So when you return, then you'll show the stone on the front of the house and the additional landscaping that would go with that?
Yes.
You have anything else, Martha?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Have I forgotten anybody? Jonathan, did you have any comments?
I just think that this is a very supportable project. I like that it maintains the existing footprint. I actually like the shingles on the new dormer. I think that adds a little flair rather than just a flat single color, no texture. So I'm glad to have had a chance to look at this project. I don't feel like we, since the project isn't directly affecting landscaping, I wasn't inclined to address that, although it might be a nice political step to enhance the front a little bit, as one of my colleagues was suggesting. So, Thank you.
Very good. Okay, anybody else? I think it's just me. I'll chime in. I think there a lot has been said that I agree with. It'd be nice to have the drawings developed a little more. You didn't have a second floor, sort of demo existing in the new kind of thing. I mean, we figured it out, but it'd be nice to have stuff clarified a little more. But I think your concept is really good of just kind of mirroring what the front is and doing it to the rear. I think that's successful. And the reality is it's from a footage standpoint, it's a relatively modest addition, despite what the new version of the NZO says this winds up at. I think, this is within the realm of acceptable from a massing for the neighborhood. It's in the backyard. I don't think this impacts anybody. So I think it's creative from that aspect. I do think that I'm glad to hear that the brick is going away and that the stone is now going to go around to the front. Martha honed right in on what my first question was going to be, and that was the brick. And I would strongly suggest doing the second floor in the front with the same shingles. I think it's a little odd to have it on one side. You've got so much symmetry going here, it seems incongruous to me to have the stucco in front and not in back. That's a little odd for me. But I think overall it's a well done design tucked in the rear, and I think it meets the neighborhood compatibility, and as far as privacy and all those things, you've done a nice job of this. So, let me see. Where's my agenda? Here we are. So we're here for conceptual preliminary. It seems like we definitely need more developed drawings before probably want to make any sort of motions or anything. So, well, if that's the consensus of the board, I'm not going to dictate, but,
Chair Branch, please.
Yeah.
Chair Branch, may we ask for any public comment from attendees? If there's any attendees that wish to comment right now at the meeting.
Gotcha.
That are online watching the meeting. If there are any attendees at this time, would you please click on the hand waving icon? And I do not see any person interested at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Did someone like make an attempt at a motion on this? What you're feeling?
Chair Branch, do we need to make a motion on the conceptual review? Is this a review?
Well, if we're gonna, as I understand it, we need to either continue it or I believe it's here for conceptual preliminary. So I think I believe we need to either continue it or grant it preliminary. Is that right, Mary?
That's correct. And don't forget, you do have that last step, which is final review.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll take a stab at a motion then that we grant preliminary conceptual review with the notes and ideas taken into account, developing the drawings a bit more, putting the pitch on, having side by side existing and proposed. Also, the name Fairway versus Fairview on the locator map and several other front of things, perhaps a front landscaping plan. And other than that, everyone seems to be happy with the situation to just maybe explore the shutters versus no shutters scenario. Am I missing anything? Does anyone?
Maybe shingles on the front too.
Perhaps shingles on the front. And someone had mentioned maybe looking at stucco on the back. Did I get those all right? Oh.
No.
I'm sorry.
Not stucco on the back.
Stone on the back.
Martha?
I think, Karis, what the comment was is to go ahead and show the stone on the front of the facade in lieu of the brick so that it would match the rear.
Can that be noted in the motion?
If you say so.
And with the findings as of staff report.
Question for staff, please.
Greg?
So I was just in looking at the staff report, there are the next steps, and it talks about one, approval of land use permit, and then two, start of a 10-day appeal period of the land use permit and preliminary review. So are we able to do preliminary review before the land use permit? Or are they supposed to happen concurrently so that the 10-day appeal period is concurrent? I'm not sure if we're getting the cart before the horse.
Chair Branch, I'll answer that. So the land use permit does come after DRB, but it can also run concurrently with the appeal period. If you do grant preliminary approval, then the land use permit can be issued and run also a 10-day appeal period. And after that, the project will come back to you for final review to deal with the details. So today it's whether you're comfortable making that preliminary approval step, knowing that they are going to come back and have to complete final.
Right. And the motion does include preliminary approval, correct?
Correct.
As it stands. Okay. Thank you.
So does someone want to second that?
I'll second the motion.
Seconded by Member Schallenberger. Any discussion? All those in favor via roll call.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGeisis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Schallenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. And so the motion receives, the project receives preliminary approval. So we'll see you guys when you come back for final.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Good evening.
Okay, so
so we can lock.
If you'll take us to our discussion item D1.
Item D1 is discussion of the Title 17 landscape plan requirements for design review board review.
Okay.
It's me, Chair Mary, Branch.
The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Before getting into the item, the intent of the item, I want to make mention that some of the sections cited for reference in your staff report are not the most updated that were approved by the City Council. They haven't been codified in the document yet, so when we cut and paste it, it's still the old version. So if you can disregard those sections, and they were just put in more for reference, not really related to this item. We will provide you an updated code, those sections when the code gets codified. So what we are here for is to get your feedback on, what type of plans you'd like to see. It's a good segue from the last project on sort of what you want to see when, especially when there aren't any changes to a project. There's been several smaller residential projects, like additions that they're not making any changes to their landscaping, but our zoning code does require that, landscape plans be submitted as part of the submittal. So we would just like to get feedback from DRB. If you would like to see photographs, aerial photos, show on the site plan what's existing, like general plantings and landscaping, or would you like to see a full landscape plan showing the existing landscaping? I'm going to share my screen. Oh, here we go. Thank you, Scott. How come my screen's not sharing?
It is. I can see it.
Oh, you can see it. Okay, great. So those are the four. And if the DRB members have any other thoughts or comments, we don't really want to burden smaller projects by having to, prepare landscape plans. We want to right-size projects appropriately. And, maybe we can get feedback from DRB. So if there are no changes to a project that's coming before you, what do you feel is satisfactory in requiring the submittal requirement?
A question I have, Mary, is actually, I guess I can come back to that after I understand this. And that is, if a project, at what point can the DRB request landscaping if it's not a part of, or can they, if it's not directly a part of the project description?
Well, in the case of the last project, you felt that if they, it was more of a recommendation, it sounded like, that, mm-hmm. They take consideration of the front yard, and it could be part of your findings that you make. You may not be able to make findings that the project is compatible if there's, dead grass, for instance, or stark, nothing in the front, particularly the streetscape, and affecting, other neighbors visually. So that's sort of where the findings come in and play a role in whether you require or not.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, I guess I would start with our newest landscape architect, Martha. What helps you? I mean, you know, if somebody's coming in with a single family remodel and they're not proposing landscaping, what do you need to see or want to see of those four things there?
I think photographs would definitely help. So yes, on number one, aerials usually don't show too much in terms of landscaping, so I'm not sure that's necessary. I don't think it would be onerous to have to show the general, in general, what the existing landscaping is. And to require full landscaping plans, I assume would entail hiring a landscape architect or have your architect detail the landscape plans, and that might be too much. I think that's a bit too far. So I would say one and three. And in the case of this last item that we saw, basically their front yard is white gravel. So Karis was very correct in requesting a little greenery there. But I would say one and three.
Yeah, I mean, photographs, you know, they're supposed to submit photos anyway for that stuff. So it would be nice to see what landscaping is there or not once they do that. That would be very helpful.
As a non-professional, I totally agree. I would really feel like I'm not making a good contribution if I don't see photographs. An aerial photo is so little detailed that I don't think that would help me much. Mm-hmm. And in many projects, a full landscaping plan would be quite a significant added expense if there's not really much going on. But you know, photographs and at least having sketched in the basic landscaping and general planning features, I think would be enough information for me typically. But need at least that much.
Greg?
Yeah, I'm in concurrence for the most part. I want to have at least some photograph. I don't want to put any unnecessary burden on any of the projects, but I do think that the number three is helpful in getting a sense of where some of the things lie if the photographs aren't explicit enough. But oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought. You can come back to me. I'll see if I remember it.
I agree with that. You know, I recently did a project in the city of Santa Barbara, and they weren't proposing to do landscaping and wound up having to do, and they have a multi-acre site, and they were requested to come back with an entire landscape plan showing what's existing, even though they weren't planning on doing anything. And that came at a tremendous expense. And, you know, I think it's not unreasonable. You know, you have to submit a site plan for every project anyway, and it's not unreasonable to call out, at the very least, the landscaped areas, even if you don't know what's there. You know, you do know if you're looking at trees or shrubs or, you know, and whether they're existing. You know, it seems pretty easy to, for even the layman to do some of the most basic you know, call outs of what are there, and that with that and photos, I would think that would probably give us as a collective board enough to at least see how that's going to incorporate into the proposed project. You know,
I remembered my comment, if I can continue. I would like, I guess, to require the minimum. If we still have the flexibility to go back and say, in this particular instance, for these reasons, we would like, you know, fuller plans or something to that effect. Does this proposed change limit us in that regard?
No, it does not. And I think, again, you know, going back to whether you feel that giving a reason why, I think is totally acceptable. Generally, I think we're just asking for when an application comes in, what are we requiring? If the DRB is reviewing during your review, you see that more should be required for your decision making, then of course you can request that.
Then I go back with the minimum. You know, photographs are probably enough, even in my view, but I don't have that much experience. You guys have a lot more experience reviewing these plans and whether you need a site plan in addition to that.
And Chair Branch, if I can just jump in, I think staff can make that call because some photographs will show a clear picture. And if it doesn't suffice, then we can have them, you know, label on the site plan the different types of plant species and landscaping.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Anybody else, Karis, anything?
Yeah, that was my basic idea, is that photographs, site plan, just call out as evidence that the landscaping is up to our standards. If the landscaping isn't up to our standards, then even if all they're asking is for a single family addition, such as in the previous case, that they might need to improve their landscaping based on the evidence of the photographs and where it's called out on the site plan. So I think it's good for them to know that if they're trying to get a permit, then they're going to have to address any landscaping concerns in order for us to make a determination of compatibility and the streets, improving the streetscape.
So what you're saying is we at least need to understand what's existing, and if it's just photos and they're clear, that's okay. But if it requires a little extra on their site plan, whatever it takes to communicate clearly what's existing is what we need. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so I would say photographs and call outs on the site plan where the photographs are from. And say this is the big oak tree in the front, then we know that that's where that is. And we could say, okay, well, you don't need to do a whole lot more because you have all this greenery. But if it is in the case like it happened, and we look there and we see that there is no existing landscaping, then that needs to be addressed as part of the permitting process. I think that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, you were raising your hand.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the project we just looked at and the photographs that I could see. I didn't see one that gave us a full frontal view of the project or the property. And that was a little frustrating because we got a snatch of some of the landscaping and you know, trying to translate the photographic image in my mind to the drawings on the paper was a little frustrating because I didn't have the full picture. Mm-hmm. So maybe specifying that we want photographs that, you know, give us the full context and then some details as well.
Yeah, photos for sure.
I think photos and site plans together can give us a good idea of what's there. And I also think that staff can make that determination. If they look and they see that it's denuded and it's not taken care of, then that's something that needs to be addressed. And they're going to need maybe landscaping where they didn't think they needed landscaping. But if it comes to us and we see that it needs landscaping, and if even if staff missed it or they didn't miss it, and that's their recommendation, then we can request that from the applicants, correct? Without putting too much more upon them to do.
Right.
If Martha? If the landscaping is beautiful, then they don't need to go through full landscape plans showing which every single plant is.
Got it. Martha, go ahead.
I guess what occurs to me is it's nice to know when you submit your application what you're in for. That is, maybe not waiting for DRB to assess your landscaping during the presentation or am I going about that backwards? As an applicant, it seems like it would be good to know ahead of time whether you are going to need that. I don't know, it's a thought.
Yeah, that could be a staff determination. So staff would decide that while you're processing the application with them and they're doing their findings. Thank you.
Mary?
Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, and Chair Branch, I think that would be a call on our part if we do see, let's say, no landscaping. We can advise that, you know, DRB will likely want to see landscape plans. And if they choose not to, they can come to you and you can make that request. So we can certainly, from this discussion, get a better understanding of what you're looking for.
I have another question, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
What about street trees? Would that fall into an applicant's requirement?
No. Only on private property.
Okay. I'd like to chime in on one item here. A couple of things. First, I think the key here is to try to limit applicants' exposure to cost, unnecessary cost. I appreciate Martha's comments talking herself out of work, potentially, but the integrity is there, I can see. That's great. And Scott, your comment on your example that you noted recently. I've had similar experiences where, you know, the requirement for a landscape and irrigation plan to make a compliant landscape and irrigation plan, anything beyond just sort of a conceptual plan, is into the thousands of dollars and probably unnecessary in most cases, especially on small projects. So I think that's, we should focus on trying to help applicants, our fellow citizens, avoid the unnecessary cost impacts. So the second thing is, on as far as, you know, existing photos and aerial views, I actually think that not even just landscape, but all projects, we should be using technology a little more in these meetings in terms of, we should be doing our aerials is Google Earth or Google Maps overview is our aerials and bird's eye view. Mm-hmm. And our existing is for the street view. Every meeting I do this on the side here on my split screen. I had that project on Berkeley on a split screen and I was looking at the Google Street View and I can see what the existing condition was of that house. But so
that, and what was your determination? There. Did you see the big dumpster? Exactly. Did you see that there was no landscaping?
Absolutely. And that project needs some landscaping in the front. But which is what you mentioned in your motion, which is why one of the reasons I supported it. So that was a really good example. But I'm saying for projects that are not really landscape related, even just to see the architectural impacts, why not use these? We should have Google Street View up on the screen during these meetings.
Yeah, that anyway,
it's just a note to address the item of aerial photos or existing. I'm just trying to mention that we have this at our capabilities here. Mm-hmm. And then as far as whatever, I don't think there's anything wrong with I use the term conceptual landscape plan, which is essentially a series of notations on a site plan that you're already creating anyway. And I don't think that's too much to ask if you can, like Scott said, existing tree, existing shrubs, existing ground cover, existing lawn. I just did the existing landscape conceptual plan just now in that sentence I just made. And then proposed is basically just as simple. It could be with a couple of, photos of some proposed planting, embedded into the sheet is really easy for any architect or designer of any kind to do nowadays. So I think I would just lean toward a conceptual plan.
would be kind of the maximum I would really want to impose on these small projects.
It is. It's the small remodels that this really is about when,
right,
when people come in with that. Okay.
It seems like what we're trying to ferret out here is what's the minimum level that doesn't impose undue hardship on the proposed project and gives us enough information up front. I do question, Craig, I really like your idea of the use of Google, but do realize that some of those are dated. They're a little old, and we don't know if that's going to be representative of the current state of the project. But like I said, I think that's a good alternative to throw up for anybody that wants to use it. But as a requirement for some invested aerial photography, you know, with some guy that's got a drone that hires himself out, I guess I'm a little resistant to that idea.
I am as well. Yeah, good point.
Okay, what else?
I guess we're trying to find consensus somehow here of what to actually state. I think we agree on number one, and the question is, to what extent does number three need to be applied?
Chair Branch, so I think I'm hearing all the members loud and clear in that we do normally require photographs, so we'll make sure that the photographs also reflect
capture
landscaping, and if it doesn't, then we will ask for the next step and also advise applicants when they don't have landscaping, or, you know, we feel that DRB would be requesting landscaping, we can advise them and let them make that choice as to whether if they submit or not.
That seems because reasonable.
It's not a requirement of the code. So that's, but again, as for your review, for neighborhood compatibility and other findings, you can certainly make that request. And this is a discussion item. Okay.
That seems reasonable because that just gives them, you know, they have to do photos anyway. So just if they just are upfront and know that they have to capture landscaping, and they're forewarned that the board has the ability to comment on their landscaping, then at least going in, they don't have to put out a cost for that up front, and they're forewarned that there could be, I guess. That seems reasonable.
Okay, well, this is a discussion item. It doesn't require action, so we appreciate the fruitful discussion, and we will include it in our...
May I ask for any speakers, please, who are attendees at the meeting? We have an attendee here. I'm not sure if they wish to speak or not. Will the attendee who wishes to speak on this item, please click on the hand wave icon now. I'm seeing a hand wave.
Really?
Do you see that, Chair Branch?
I don't see it on my computer.
Is this our first hand wave?
Yeah.
So exciting.
Is this new one, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm waving my hand. Hey, guys. So we're in the process of getting in front of you guys. We're doing a really small remodel down the street from these folks. And I've been going through trying to get definition or clarity as far as if we need to go in front of design review board and then what goes into that, as far as all the different features to put in front of you. Landscape plan was one of them. And so it had been suggested that I comment just so that you guys hear someone who's going through this for the first time, just, you know, our concept as well. And you guys are in line with sort of what I was thinking. You know, obviously a small remodel, we're not going out front at all. We're bumping two of our sides, 6 feet and 8 feet, not changing driveway, landscape, anything. And so my initial reaction or thought was, why would I need to put anything in front of the design review board?
In hearing you guys review the prior submission and then talk through it, I understand now that part of it is wanting to make sure that there is landscape, and that if you're giving permits, that there's appropriate landscape. And I would echo that sentiment that on small jobs, sort of the bare minimum is appreciated, as we're not having to take on large costs. So the definition of what's required is huge. I felt as if throughout this process, there hasn't been any definition. And I think a lot of that's because this is a new requirement. And so kind of going back and forth between, okay, do I need to hire someone to call out every species of plant that's been in my yard for the last 10 years seems onerous. So, you know, what you guys are discussing seems reasonable, a picture. And, you know, if there's any large features that could potentially be a site hazard, which I think is probably what you guys are looking at being called out, I'd support that. But I mean, my initial thought was to waive it for small jobs not going out front, but it doesn't seem like that would meet what you guys are wanting to do. So anyways, I just wanted to let someone's voice be heard that has no experience in any of this and let you know what it's been like so far for us.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Well, then I guess that takes us to our last item, announcements by members and staff. And I guess I would just like to reiterate to Martha and Greg and Jonathan to welcome aboard. And it's great to have more eyes on something. I think that can only be a good thing. So anybody else have any announcements? Karis?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. All right. With that, oh, sorry, Mary, go ahead.
Chair Branch, I just want to add on. Yes, welcome to the three new members. I wanted to let everyone know what their standing is with DRB. Martha is our landscape professional, and Greg and Jonathan at our residence. They're at our at-large members. Just a
outstanding. Outstanding. All right. Well, with that, then we will look forward to seeing you all on the 24th. And that concludes today's meeting. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.